Amen. Thank you so much, Amanda and Rebecca. Aren't you thankful for the love of God, which cannot be exhausted? Thank you also to our orchestra and to our instrumentalists. Thank you to Jesse. We have so enjoyed having him here. It's good to have his family here as well. If you would turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, I want to talk about godliness and brotherly kindness. Both of them go together, and they are illustrated, I'm afraid to say, in a negative way. Said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out and out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your love. And as we sang about just a few moments ago, may we not glory in ourselves, but in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we ever live in its shadow, but may we also understand that this has implications for our lives, for the way that we treat others, Lord, especially for our Christian brethren, but also for those who were outside the household of faith. And I pray that by your grace that we would love you, that we would love you supremely, that we would love others around us. And help us to truly grasp what that means. So we pray that you would guide our study in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two friends are in the woods having a picnic. They spot a bear in the distance running towards them. One friend gets up and starts running from the bear. The other friend opens his backpack, takes off his hiking boots, and puts on his running shoes. "Are you crazy?" the first friend shouts, looking over his shoulder as the bear closes in. "You can't outrun a bear." "I don't have to outrun the bear," said the second friend. "I only have to outrun you." It's a humorous story, but it highlights our tendency as human beings to put ourselves before others. We put ourselves before God and before other people. And yet notice how the Word of God reverses that order. Matthew chapter 22, the words of our Lord Himself, if you want to turn there, Matthew 22 and verse 36. Notice what the Lord Jesus tells us. Matthew 22 and verse 36. "Master," the question comes, "which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." In other words, with your entire being. With everything that you are. This is not just a Sunday religion. This is an every moment of life relationship that we have with God. Verse 38, Jesus makes it clear. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's nothing here about us, but it's about God. And it's about other people. First of all, Jesus says, love God. Secondly, love others. The order is important here. You see, every relationship that we have hinges upon our relationship with God. So a person can say, "Oh, I'm right with God. I just can't stand other people." In fact, you know, Pastor, listen, I am just so close to God. But I just can't be around these sinners, other people around me. Is that biblical? 1 John 4:20. Let me guide you to this passage. 1 John 4 and verse 20. 1 John 4:20 says, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother," and that may not manifest itself in actually killing someone, but it may be feelings of indifference. It may be feelings of apathy. You know, that's even worse than hatred. But if a man say, "Oh, I love God, I am such a spiritual individual," but then you care nothing about others around you, what does John say? He is a what? He's a liar. Now that is the word of God to us. That's not my word. "For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" I want to present to you three points out of this passage today that I hope will really help us on this matter. That our relationship that we have with others hinges upon our relationship with God. Number one, our relationship with God is foundational. It is foundational to all of life. There are people today who are trying to build their lives without God. And you will never be successful doing it. Never. You see, letter A, if we want to approach God, if we want to make things right with God, and that is really the thing that we have to do, that's the most important thing in all of life, is to approach God and give Him the glory and the honor that He deserves. But you see, before we can do that, we have to deal with the sin problem, and it's not something we can take care of. God has to take care of it. But we must approach Him in the manner that He has provided. Letter A, we must approach God in the manner that He has demanded. And there are some commentators who are divided on this, but I truly believe that the reason why Cain's sacrifice was rejected was, first of all, because it was not a blood sacrifice. And God had told Adam and Eve from the very beginning, as He made them coats of skin, He communicated to them that something innocent had to die. And that prefigured our Lord Jesus Christ. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. But we can at least say this, and that is that they had this desire to approach God. And that is so important, because God is the most important person in all of life. You see, God made us to give glory to Him, to fellowship with Him. If we don't meet that purpose, then we can never fulfill the reason why we were made. Number two, we bear His image. That is why life is sacred. People talk about the sanctity of life. Why is that? Is that just a political matter? And the answer is no, it is a theological matter. Turn to Genesis 9, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. We have the law of capital punishment spelled out very, very clearly. And God told Noah, He says, you can kill the animals that are around you, but you can't kill human beings. Human beings are not animals. There is something that separates us from the animal kingdom. And there are many things, but one of them is we are made in God's image, and animals are not. And in Genesis 9:6, God makes this clear. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That is the principle of capital punishment. It is to be carried out by a duly constituted, legitimate governing authority. This is not a directive for vigilante justice. It's not for private individuals, but it is to be executed by human government. But the reason given here is why? For in the image of God made He man. That's why man is special. Because he bears God's image upon him. We bear God's stamp of ownership upon us. Well, number three, God holds us morally accountable for our sin. He doesn't hold animals accountable, but He does hold us accountable for our sin. And one day, all of us have an appointment with judgment. Now, I can stand here and say that my sins were judged at the cross because my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But every human being will be judged at some point. If your sins are not under the blood of Christ, then you will stand before something we call the Great White Throne Judgment. And you will give an account for your sins yourself. And you will suffer the penalty of sin, which is eternity and the lake of fire forever. And my friends, the Bible does not mention purgatory. There is no halfway house. You don't get out of hell. It is a place of fire. It is a place of pain. It is a place of suffering forever. You say, Pastor, that upsets me. Listen, I'm telling you, and there may be somebody saying that here today, but listen, I'm telling you this because I love you. Because I don't want you to wake up in hell one day shocked and stunned, saying to yourself, well, I thought I was a religious person. I thought I was a good person. The preacher told me not to worry about these things because he didn't want to upset me. So that's why he didn't talk about sin and hell. Because I had enough problems going on in my life. Listen, folks, this is the number one problem that all of us have. And that is the sin problem. And the fact that the penalty of sin must be paid. And if you don't put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who paid that penalty, then there is no hope for you eternally. I'm telling you this because I love you. We have to come to God through the sacrifice that He has provided. And in the Old Testament, this sacrifice was foreshadowed by the blood of an innocent animal. But Jesus Christ was the fulfillment. He suffered the penalty of sin on the cross, once and for all. He shed His blood for us so that we could go free. He is our blood sacrifice. And so we must acknowledge that we are image bearers, that we are made in His image, that we are accountable, and that the penalty of sin must be paid, and we must throw ourselves upon His mercy. We must come to God through the way that He has provided. Aren't you glad that He did? You see, there's nothing that we can do to make things right. We can't provide the way. You say, well, I've got my baptism to lean on. I've got my good works. You know, I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. I've heard people tell me, well, you know, I was born saved. I'll say, can you give me a testimony of when you were born again? Well, you know, I kind of grew up in church. Listen, you've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. The way you do that is by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the choice that Cain had, and he chose not to do it. But there's another dimension to this, and that is letter B. We have to approach God with the proper attitude. That's involved in coming to God in the way that He has prescribed. We have to come with the proper attitude. And what is that proper attitude? Well, we must confess that we are sinners. We must agree with God. And when I was 20 years old, this is exactly what I did when I came to Christ. Because for 20 years, now I may not have said it out loud, but what I said to God was, I'm okay, I was born okay the first time. I don't need your salvation. But when I came to Christ, in repentance and faith, I said this, I said, God, You are right and I am wrong. And I took sides against myself. And I bow to You. I acknowledge that You are right in what You have said about sin. Cain didn't do that. God refused to accept that sacrifice. Notice Cain's hard attitude, and this is exactly what God addresses. But Cain gets offended. And by the way, there are a lot of people who are going to get offended when you tell them that they're sinners, that they need to be born again. There are people out there in this world. And maybe some of you did that before you were saved. It was a great offense to you to be told that you were a sinner, that you needed the righteousness of God. That's exactly what happened to Cain. Nothing wrong with me. You know, by the way, that is really the problem with a lot of these movements today, with the social justice movement, with the environmental movement, and so many others. What they try to do is they try to build a life without God. They try to be good without God. They say, we're going to build a life of morality, but God is not in the picture. Now, He may be in a superficial way. They may still go to a religious service on Sunday. But really, when you examine what they believe and the way they behave, they are very indifferent towards God. You see, they're trying to build a life without God. And that's exactly what Cain did. And that's why these philosophies are so dangerous. That's why I preach against them. Because people think that they're doing good, moral things, and yet they're doing it apart from God. And the issues of sin and eternity have never been addressed. It's all about what man can do to refashion and to remodel society. And this is the spirit of Cain. I can do it myself without God. And yet how different the Bible is. In fact, God warns Cain. He says, sin is out to destroy you. You're not okay. Cain, you're angry, but what you need to realize is that sin is crouching at your door. Sin is pictured as a wild animal. Sin lieth at the door, verse 7. A wild animal stalking Cain. You know, to put it in terms of today, what Cain probably thought was that God is some external authority that is trying to stifle his authentic selfhood. That's the way we would put it in 21st century language. I don't want some external authority in my life to tell me what to do. So Cain was angry, but in fact, God was trying to rescue Cain. Did you know that? Isn't God's mercy incredible? You ever had anybody reject you, get mad at you because you're trying to rescue them, and God still came after Cain? He still tried to come and rescue him. That's how merciful our God is. By the way, I was Cain at one time in my life. But God never gave up on me. And at one point in our lives, all of us are Cain. Because we cannot bring of the fruit of the ground, we cannot bring of our works or whatever else it is. We cannot bring a sacrifice that will please God. God must provide the sacrifice. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us to number two. Number one, our relationship with God is foundational. Number two, that relationship with God is going to affect our relationship with others. So it's something that goes together. Letter A, you cannot love God and hate others. And boy, we see this with Cain and Abel. Notice that the word brother is repeated 7 times in our passage. It's like a steady drumbeat. He kills his own brother. Can you imagine the horror of that? God created us to love him, but he also created us as social beings. He created us as part of a family unit that we might learn to love others. Boy, what better place to learn that than in the family? When other people are in close quarters with you, that is the perfect opportunity to learn how to put others before yourself. Even when they do things that irritate you, when they talk too loud while you're trying to study, or they leave the cap off of the toothpaste, or they do all kinds of other things, all kinds of little things too that irritate you to death, but yet God's called you to love them. The family is the perfect place to learn that. Do you get these two things together that we've just talked about in points 1 and 2? We've got, first of all, the sanctity of human life. That's one. But then also, we've got the foundational importance of the family unit. That's two. Both of these are under attack in our society, aren't they? foundational principles absolutely necessary to a functioning society, but it's more than that. It's what God has established. And that's why people rebel against it. I just read recently about a little boy, a three-year-old boy. He was found dead in the freezer of his family home. It appears that his mother had put him there. And the reason why? Well, because she couldn't deal with him. The little boy was blind. He suffered from other disabilities. They found him 3 weeks later. Can you imagine the horror that this little boy felt in those last few moments of his life? How about the horror that unborn children feel in the womb as they're being destroyed by abortion? You ever thought of that? 63 million lives have been taken since Roe v. Wade. Listen, I rejoice for the Supreme Court decision this week. And if you're born again, you ought to as well. The battle is not over by a long shot. But listen, God is not going to overlook that. He's going to hold this country accountable for it. If there were an incident today where 63 million people were killed, we would be horrified beyond belief. You would think that it's some kind of a nuclear conflict had broken out. And yet we have done this under the guise of law. We have destroyed our own children. You see, it's very easy to do when life is not precious. When people forsake the principles of God's Word. A person can do this pragmatically. You know, there are some Christians who have had abortions. They've had to ignore the truths that they've known. What a tragedy that is. But I think by and large it comes to a society that no longer takes life seriously. That people are made in the image of Almighty God. You see, you cannot love God, let her be, and be indifferent to others. Do we care about other people around us? Do we care that people are dying and going to hell? You say, well, those people in the house beside me, boy, they are so wicked. You don't know the things that they're involved in, and you don't know the causes that they espouse. Listen, God went after Cain in His mercy. We can do no less. All of us were in that position at one time, but God did not give up on us. But does it matter to you? Or do you have your own little clique and you don't really care about anyone else outside of that? My vision for this church, for every born-again person, is that we would go outside of ourselves, outside of our little group. And yes, I know that we have to maintain holiness of life, but at the same time, we need to reach out to a lost and a dying world. That's why God has left us here. And so we have to warn them. We have to tell people the truth. And yes, it's unpleasant. And the gospel is offensive. But we have to do it with love and compassion to rescue them from the flames. You see, our relationship with God, number three, determines our destiny. That's why we have to submit to God's authority. Does Cain do that? Cain says in verse 13, Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, that's true. He sounds like he's sorry that he got caught. He's sorry for the consequences. But is there any repentance there? Is there any submission? Does he say, Lord, please have mercy upon me? Is that what he says? No. You see, he's got so much sinful pride that he's going to suffer the punishment anyway, as terrible as it is. You see, if we come to God, we have to have that heart submission. We must respond to God's mercy. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let me ask you this today. Are you right with God? Do you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? That's the most important question of all. It's foundational. You've got to be right with God. Let me ask you this. You say, yes, Pastor, I am right with God. There's no doubt in my mind that I've accepted Christ as Savior. I know if I died right now, I would go to heaven. Well, let me ask you this. How much do you care about other people around you? Are you just indifferent to people? In truth, you just really don't care. Or maybe other people make you so mad, you're so angry at them, that you just don't care about them. You have hatred in your heart. Yes, how vile it is to kill an unborn baby in the womb. But let me ask you this. How many of us have hated our brother in our hearts? How many of you would have killed someone else if you had the opportunity? You see, Jesus calls us to a higher standard because He sees the heart. How many of you have hated someone, plunged the knife in their back? You say all kinds of things when they're not around. Or maybe you're just indifferent and apathetic. You just don't really care about the souls of others. You see, this is a message for all of us. All of us can be in the same boat as Cain, if not by the grace of God. Let's respond to God's mercy. God forbid that anyone in this room would go out from the presence of God and would be separated from Him for all eternity in the lake of fire. But also, God forbid that we, as God's people, would not care for others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and mercy to us. Thank You for not giving up on us. We thank You that You pursued us. We thank You that You initiated salvation. You provided what needed to be done in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful for His person and work. But we pray that if there's a person in here who has not received that free gift through faith alone, that they would do that today. And we pray for us as Your people that You would give us a burden. Lord, if we don't have one already, that You would give us a burden for that person who is struggling with addiction, for that person who is in the chains of homosexuality, for that unwed mother who has just aborted her baby. Lord, for those in this world who have been deluded and deceived and are in the lap of the wicked one, help us to understand, Lord, that except for Your grace, we would be in the same position. Lord, I pray that we would care about others around us and use us as Your instruments to reach a lost and a dying world. In Jesus.